The Carmen and Yurko podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Yeah. You know, if this were 10 years ago,
I'd be 34. I'd have no kids.
I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
I think Yurko would have still been married. There'd be no coronavirus, and Jesse Rogers would be joining us to break down the Marc-Andre Fleury trade.
I mean, yes.
And that really would have been big news 10 years ago.
10 years ago,
but
yes.
It's not. It's 2021. And we will continue to discuss the Marc-Andre Fleury trade. And we're going to try to get Edzo on, Eddie Olczyk. And Pat Boyle texted me and said that Edzo, I think, was his coach in the minors and was actually pushing pretty hard to bring him up maybe earlier than the Pens as an organization wanted to. But, you know, I mean, he's seen the whole run here for Marc-Andre Fleury. And he is coming off a pretty strong year, even though he's 37. And, look, it's an upgrade for the Hawks. There's no doubt. The plan is still, like, a little bit of a head scratcher, but maybe it's as simple as we got 2 years left of Taves and Kane. They've got no move clauses. We're not trading them. Let's try one last time. So maybe that's what it is. We'll circle back to it. We'll take your calls if you want to talk about Favre sticking in Green Bay. Who won there? And that little standoff, if you want to call it that, that was Yurko's poll question. It's on my Twitter timeline at Carmen DeFalco. You can vote online. It's close. It's about 58% of the audience voting the Packers. We were asking simply who won, the Packers or Aaron Rodgers for 2021. 312-332-3776 is the number.
If you get time, get the Pro Football News.
Pro Football Talk?
Pro Football Talk.
Yep.
Yeah, and look at Florio's comment. He offers a thought on who won or who lost.
All right, I will. I will do that.
Yeah.
Let's now get to the Corona Hotline and say hi to Jesse Rogers.
Jesse is a friend. Been a good friend of mine.
And he joins us now to talk about the trade deadline. Clock is ticking. Here we go, Jess. Jock Peterson gone, Chafin gone, and as you told me last night, for a third straight series, the White Sox are scouting the Cubs. Now, one of those series also involved a player that they've been linked to for like 6 weeks, a player for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but when there's smoke, there's fire. The Cubs have a lot to offer. I would imagine a lot of teams are scouting, and are the Sox going to get a deal done with their north side geographical rival?
Yeah, that's the question. I think Ryan Tepera is the answer to that question. If a deal were to happen, I think it would be him. Now, they do play the White Sox, the Cubs do, coming up in August. Yeah. So there's also some advance, I'm sure, going on there as well. But, yeah, I think Tepera would be the fit. I think you'd probably agree they need some help, whether it be righties or lefties. Just even what La Russa did in Milwaukee Sunday, I think, was telling. I mentioned this to Waddle and Silvy, just only wanting to use Kopech and Liam Hendricks in the late innings. He didn't want to go to his lefties, and he said it because I would have to leave him in there for three batters. So I absolutely could see them trying to get a setup man like Tepera from the right side and then maybe a lefty as well, not necessarily from the Cubs, but we'll see. So, yeah, the White Sox have been there. The Rays have been there. The Mets have been there. The Phillies have been there. You know what's interesting, though? The A's have not been there. So, you get these deals that sometimes come out of nowhere. Maybe teams don't want to send their scouts because it indicates, what they might be thinking. I've not seen an Oakland A's scout around the Cubs the last couple weeks, yet they go ahead and make the trade for Chafin. So you never know when these things or how these things are going to go down.
What was the return like for Chafin? Is that about what they expected, and is there a chance to get a Triple-A hits?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I'm no prospects guru, right? But I think that's the kind of deal you're looking for. Somebody that is almost major league ready, and that's the outfielder, Greg Dykeman. And then you add on a low-level pitcher, right? Sort of like, yes, he's got a live arm. You hear all these things. But when you're in Class A, they all have live arms, right? I mean, it's like, let's see what happens. I've heard good things about him, the pitcher, Palencia. But it's Dykeman hitting 300 with an 881 OPS at AAA right now. Only four home runs. He's almost like an old school player that, that Theo and Jed would have been interested in years ago. 50 walks, 60 strikeouts, lots of contact, probably has more power in him. I know he does, but he's not necessarily showing it right now. That's a guy you might see at Wrigley Field this year. That's the exact kind of trade you want. Someone on the verge of making it, and then sort of a prospect, project, whatever you want to call him, at a lower level. So for Chafin, I have no problem with that. Again, I'm no prospect expert, but I like the sort of concept of it, a guy that's ready and a guy that's a project. Prospect project.
Do Kimbrell and Bryant go right down to the deadline, Jess? And does that kind of make most sense considering how attractive they probably are to a number of teams?
No, I don't think so with Kimbrell. I don't. I think Kimbrell's going to go sooner rather than later. Now, look, we're down to a few days.
This is it, you know. It's
right.
Like,
I just don't think Kimbrell's 3 o'clock on Friday. I just don't. Okay. I think one of these teams, I mean, this is a final piece. Like, you don't want – if you're the Dodgers or one of these other teams, you don't want to wait till Friday at the last minute. Like, I think one of these teams is going to step up in the next 24 to 36 to 48 hours and really, you know, go get them. I think the Dodgers have to be the leader in this. They have a good farm system. And they are a wreck right now at the back end of their bullpen.
Yes, they are.
You know, Kenley Jansen blew 3 saves in a row. I don't see why the Dodgers wouldn't be making a big push. But there are other teams, the Red Sox, the Astros. We're talking about the best teams in the business. You don't wait till Friday, the last minute, for that. Unless Jed forces them all to wait and tries to up the ante. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to do that. I think it's going to happen soon. Now, the big three, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, I do think that's a little bit of a waiting game. I'm not completely sold that Bryant's gone, but he probably is. I still think the Mets are the leader in the clubhouse. I absolutely think Baez is staying. Rizzo and Boston have been tied. That's Buster Olney's reporting. Right. That'd be the only place he goes. I still have a feeling he's staying as well. So of the big three, I think it's Chris Bryant to the Mets. There could be a surprise team with Bryant because he's so versatile. So all of a sudden, you know, the Yankees come calling and say they want him to play center field. The Yankees have been scouting the Cubs a little bit. That could have been about Chafin, though, so we'll see. So Bryant is a little bit of an unknown just because he's so versatile. Maybe a team steps up, but I'm not convinced that Jed is just going to give him away. He better get a good return because, you know, these are legacy-type players, those big three, and you got to get the right return. Otherwise, you give him the qualifying offer and let them walk on their own.
So I think you nailed it when you said the White Sox are looking for relief help. I mean, I think that's been the case for a while. It seems to be the most pressing issue for them. Are they still checking in on second baseman? I mean, Frazier's gone. He's off the board. But is that something that you still think Rick Hahn will add by the end of the week?
I do. Now, maybe he's saving his bullets for the relievers first, and then he'll deal with Eduardo Escobar or someone else later. You've heard my latest favorite stat, Carmen, right?
Well, let me hear this one.
Okay, you'll like this one.
All right.
Against right-handers on plus 500 teams that the White Sox have faced. Okay, that's pretty specific, but still. Against righty pitching on good teams. That's basically what I'm telling
you. These numbers are going to be bad, I think.
They rank 29th in baseball in OPS.
30 teams, so.
29th. Now think about all the bad teams that rank higher than them.
Yeah.
Against good right-handed pitching, these bad teams, the Pirates, rank 10th against good right-handers on 500. Now, it's a little unscientific. For example, the Pirates didn't necessarily, you know, not all teams have drawn Peralta, Burns, and Woodruff in a 3-game series.
Right.
So it's not completely scientific, but anecdotally, you tell me, watching against the better right-handers, the Gerrit Coles, the Astros, the 3 Brewers, the White Sox have had their problems. I've said this since January. And the difference between Lourie Garcia and Eduardo Escobar is about 20 home runs.
Yeah, please. I mean, it's not even. Yeah, I mean, look, Grandal's out right now. Now they use a switch hitter, but he's obviously going to be hitting lefty against righties.
Eloy is better against righties than lefties.
He is. That should help. That's true. Unfortunately, they came up short in any quest for Jock or for Schwarber. Schwarber got hurt anyway. It doesn't matter, even though he's having a great year.
Yeah
I mean, that it's a weakness. You're right.
I don't think you cross your fingers and just hope Eloy goes off. Your fingers that Grandel comes back. I mean, Grandel is hitting 188, but he does have some slug against right-handed pitching.
Yeah.
I think you go out. There's an opening there. I mean, it's not like you're you have an opening at second base. Lourie Garcia does a lot of things well. He doesn't have enough slug. So I'm not sure why, you know, maybe they're looking for Joey Gallo in right field because there's kind of an opening there as well. that would be the big fish, right?
Yes, it would be.
I don't think that's happening, but anything's possible. You have a World Series contender, you leave no stone unturned. Yeah.
After last night's walk-off flyball single and the Baez reaction thereafter, including putting the bat on the field of play, and then notice how I said that.
Yeah.
You know, just put the bat on the field of play. Can we expect some shenanigans and chicanery tonight? Or afternoon, or whenever the Cubs are playing.
It's tonight. I would say only if Amir Garrett gets back in there, Yurko, because I will tell you, I don't think Reds players love Garrett's antics that much, and they are probably not that upset at Javi. I'm just guessing here. They're probably not that upset at Javi. Garrett is kind of on an island with that team sometimes. And look, they've had bad blood before, not just this year, but in past years between Javi and Garrett. I'm going to say no. I don't think there's much. Now, Javi may not start. He's got that bad heel, so... You know, basically, he needed to do what he did instead of, you know, he wasn't going to run the bases if he hit the ball far enough. So I'm not sure he's going to start, but I'm going to say no on the retaliation because unless it's Amir Garrett himself. That's my answer to that.
All right, Jess, anything else?
No, I think that covers it. Let me give you a couple more teams that have been fought. The Blue Jays have been at Cubs games. I mentioned the Yankees, Mets, Rays, White Sox, Padres.
Wow.
I think the Padres are probably looking at Craig Kimbrel as well. Melanson's been fine, but a little shaky. And then, you know, of course, these teams that have closers have no problem adding Kimbrel to just lock it down in the eighth and ninth inning. I know, Carmen, you'd like to see the White Sox get Kimbrel. I think that's out of the cards.
I think so, too. It's probably.
Yeah, I think it's the Dodgers, maybe the Red Sox or Astros for Kimbrel. And that should be the big haul that Jed Hoyer brings back three or four, you know, players, two of them really good prospects. That's the way I look at it.
All right, Jess, we'll talk to you later in the week for sure, okay?
Yep, for sure. Take care.
See you. See you, buddy. There's Jesse Rogers all over it on Twitter, at Jesse Rogers ESPN. You know, the White Sox here now 5-6 since the All-Star break, Yerk. The offense is averaging just 3.7 runs per game in the second half. They've scored 10 total runs, Yurko, in their last five games. Guess what their record is in those five? Not surprisingly, it's 1-4.
1-4, Kerm.
You've won just 20% of your last five games. Abreu is 2 for his last 18. TA's second half on base percentage is .279. He's still pretty good in the slug. He's hit some home runs.
It's only what, 9-10 game sample?
No, it is. It's 11 games.
Yeah.
Leury's second half, to Jesse's point, slashing .083, .267, .125. Mendick's slash in the second half is .111, .333, .111. Goodwin's is .200, .250, .200. So you're not getting a lot of slug. You're not getting a ton of production. Production out of guys that have had to play because of injury, and they've helped you, but at some point, it does start to stress, I think, the lineup as a whole.
The All-Star break didn't really help the Chicago White Sox.
No, I mean, I think it's like...
They wish they could have kept their mojo going.
This is kind of what you expect, though. At some point, like it...
It corrects.
Yeah, it kind of corrects.
And you said
leaning
yourself,
on these guys to play a lot because of all the injuries.
They weren't going to play 620 baseball the whole year.
Right.
Right? Some point it adjusted. They're down to, what, 590 now?
Yeah.
580
right about that. Right about 590.
So... That's going to adjust, too.
Look, and there's no...
Listen, 600 baseball, you win a 96 game.
Right, and the division is bad. Look, the Sox are going to walk to this division. I mean, we're just trying to figure out what it's going to look like come October. And I think it's going to look a lot different because they're going to be healthier. They're going to add something. The Sox are in a weird spot right now. Like, we don't have to live and die with every game, and we don't have to worry when they get beat by a bad team or a good team necessarily because they're incomplete, and they're going to look a lot different. And I don't think there's going to be any drama in this division. I mean, hell, the Indians might even sell a few pieces off, although it's looking more and more unlikely like that they will trade Ramirez. I mean, that was a brief rumor over the weekend. That was my meathead thought of the weekend. By the way, Meller, you'll appreciate that. Like, my very meathead thought of the weekend was like, oh, man, Jose Ramirez has played like 150 games at second. Give him Madrigal and something else and get like two more years of control out of... Get Jose Ramirez away from the Indians out on your roster and let him play second base. Meathead.
But I don't know if that's meathead.
I think it's a little meathead.
Why is he meathead?
I don't know. I think the Indians would be like, we're not treating you Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, that's probably maybe. I don't think it's maybe. I guess maybe a little meathead.
It was a kind of a meathead thing where I'm like, hey, call the Indians and see if you can get Jose Ramirez to play second for you.
I mean, but they did trade Lindor away, so.
That's true, but they traded him out of the league. You know, they traded him to the Mets.
I mean, it's a new era. It's the Guardians. Maybe they're willing to wheel and deal with their division rivals.
Sign me up for Jose Ramirez at second.
And speaking of trades that we thought were done.
Yeah, is there some breaking news now? Now we might have some. I don't know. There's an interesting development. We will tell you about it when we come back next.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Have been very active, and they are active today, but is there a wrinkle? Trade deadline and baseball at the end of the week. Aaron Rodgers sticking with the Packers. The focus of our Twitter poll today at Carmen DeFalco. Who won? The Packers or Aaron Rodgers? 58% of the audience going with the Packers. So the Blackhawks have reportedly agreed to a deal with the Vegas Knights to acquire Marc-Andre Fleury, coming off a Vezina Trophy win at the age of 36, 37, going into the final year of a contract that will pay him $7 million. At least that's what the cap hit is in 2021, 2022. But now a wrinkle, Merck? Is that what you're telling me? Breaking news?
There's a wrinkle. Alan Walsh, who is Octagon agent for Marc-Andre Fleury, says, well, Marc-Andre Fleury still hasn't heard from anybody with Vegas Golden Knights. He has apparently been traded to Chicago. Marc-Andre will be taking time to discuss his situation with his family and seriously evaluate his hockey future at this time.
What does that mean? Like he can retire, maybe?
I guess.
Or is he saying, Mark wants a contract extension?
Yeah, Mark wants a couple more years if he's going to move to Chicago.
Does he have a no-move clause?
Mark, I can't. He came.
Mark
not.
Wants yeah. two more years on that deal, guaranteed at $7.5 million a year to play for the Chicago Blackhawks. That's what it sounds like to
boy,
me, Carm.
Oh boy. So right now, Stan's going, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
Not liking that one so much. And by the way, Alan Walsh tweeted out one of the most notorious photos from an agent I've ever seen on Twitter, because he, if you'll recall, back when the Vegas Golden Knights decided they were going to go ahead and start Robin Lehner in game one of their playoff run after the season, when they went to the Stanley Cup final, he tweeted out a photo of Marc-Andre Fleury with a big sword in his back, piercing him like he was being stabbed in the back, with on the sword written DeBoer, the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights at the time.
How about that? That's like a big...
A very vocal agent on Twitter.
Yeah, it seems like this vocal agent's going to want some more years. That's what I'm thinking. At least one more year, don't you think, Carl?
Right now, Stan's thinking, my plan is going to hell.
I got to move to Chicago. I got to change my pads. I don't know. Right? Pads got to change.
Everything. The color scheme's got to change.
Absolutely.
In the break, Yurko's initial thought was, he doesn't want to buy new pads, as if he'd have to be the one to pay for them. Like, CCM's got to... Got a pair of pads ready to go if he wants them.
He does have to get a new helmet, though.
He does. He'd have to get a new helmet. He won't pay for that either, though.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He's made enough money to pay for it.
The guy that paints it isn't doing it for free.
That's somebody else.
He's not doing it.
It's a write-off.
That means you're paying for it.
Can the Hawks?
Just because it's a write-off doesn't mean they pay for it.
Be write-off.
Nobody pays for it, Yurk. They just write it off.
Can the Hawks commission it? Can the Hawks commission a new helmet for Flower?
They should. Yeah,
they do. Just put on my tab and you never pay
the tab. It's like
the
lowest tab. It's
never
pay the tab. It's like the budget. I mean, or the deficit. I mean,
can the Hawks pay for equipment, or is that circumventing the salary cap if they do? Knowing the NHL, it might be...
Isn't it just like the deficit? I mean, we don't actually have to pay anybody that money. Just write it off. We don't have to pay anybody.
Call Belfour. Get the old Eddie the Eagle helmet out of storage.
We got some great Chicago artists here. Who was the guy that taught Cap for a while? Remember Cap took lessons for like...
Billy Tokyo.
Billy Tokyo. Cap's had a lot of things over the years. One of them for like 6 hours was, I'm going to be an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think Cap has a bunch of paintings that are half done right now in his house?
Probably. A bunch of nudes and, you know, God only knows what else. Like, he is a centaur. That was one of them. I think it's like half done. Just the horse. Yeah. He doesn't have the top half yet. Get Billy Tokyo to paint a picture of, this is what the helmet's going to look like. Come on, Flower. Like, I don't know what else
tempt
thought.
That might tempt them.
Listen, while the Seth Jones thing, I think we can nitpick a little bit more. Like, is this going to hurt them? Like, is he just a player that's regressing even though he's only 26? The analytical numbers hate him right now. Like, we can dissect that a little bit more. Marc-Andre Fleury for $7 million for a prospect for 1 year. It's kind of like, it's probably better than Kevin Lankinen, right? I mean, I don't think any Hawks fan would...
I think I think the Flower has more.
Yeah.
More leverage than Aaron Rodgers did. He's got more leverage than Aaron Rodgers.
He's threatening retirement. I guess that's his threat.
Only he also wants the same age. He wants more money. Have any of you ever seen
Marc-Andre Fleury host Jeopardy? Because I haven't, so I don't know if he's got that.
He did in Canada. He hosted the Canadian.
Oh, did he in Canada?
He's the Canadian Alex Trebek.
He's the Canadian.
Although Alex Trebek is actually Canadian.
That's a very good point, yes. No, that's what you have. Marc-Andre Fleury is a very popular amongst the Canadian Jeopardy crowd. I don't know if you knew that, Yurko.
I did not.
Mike Florio agrees with you 100%, by the way, in the Aaron Rodgers situation.
Yes.
And I know Mike Florio can rub you the wrong way from time to time.
He can.
You guys see eye to eye on this.
I like to smack him in the head sometimes.
Well, okay.
Yes.
Our long regional nightmare is over. That's funny. It was almost, when it's the NFL, it's probably, you could just use the old, you know, our long national nightmare is over. Aaron Rodgers is back. At a time when some are twisting themselves in knots to characterize this as some sort of major win for Rodgers, it's not. It's definitely not. Make no mistake, Rodgers caved. He folded. He surrendered. Once the restructured deal between the Packers and Rodgers becomes official, the Packers get their franchise quarterback. Rodgers gets the 2023 season of his current deal removed. That's it. That's all he's getting. That's all he's getting that he wasn't already entitled to receive. He also, I guess you could say, slightly gets a win in the guarantee that there's going to be no tag involved. And it's a pretty, it's like, it sounds like it's a handshake agreement that they'll revisit next year's situation. The Packers could very easily just
he
be
he goes
like,
on to that, say, you better get it all in writing.
I would.
He goes on to say, Florio does, you better get it all in writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have to get in writing, like, you're letting me go next year. You're trading me. Isn't it? I mean, isn't that kind of what he wants? Like, he's going to win this at all?
Yes. Revisiting it.
Yeah, revisiting is nothing. Like, you could put a revisit in.
Which is the point to the surrender, to the point that he caved, which is to the point that that's exactly why. Why? Because he had no leverage.
None.
None. No matter what the fools around the country tried to tell you. Okay? And they're fools.
He takes a shot at Schefter in here, Florio.
Well.
They can't help themselves.
Right.
I mean, I'm right here. You can call me a fool to my face, Yerk.
I don't think he's talking to you.
I'm talking to any and all pundits.
I said plenty of times, I felt like Aaron Rodgers had some leverage. I guess we're defining the term leverage here.
All I'm sitting here, and I'm going to tell you this, any and all pundits, if you feel like I've included you in that, then that's where you belong, Jeff.
No. I just want to make it clear that I did say Aaron Rodgers was working with some leverage.
Then
now,
yes, you're included in the group.
I just want to make it clear. I'm not running away.
If I'm Rodgers, I am. I'm getting it written down that this is my last year here.
Right.
I'm going to come back. I'm going to play.
It won't be there. Because that's not what he agreed to. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They're going to revisit it. Listen.
We're going to go through the same nightmare next year.
No. He went about this business because he didn't know what his future was with the Packers. He's seen this play out before. He was the guy, the young guy that came in, upseated the veteran. Now you've got a young guy that's come in, and they're doing the same thing with him. They want him to watch for a couple of 2 years.
Right, 2 years.
Maybe 3 years, and then take over for the veteran when he's a little bit older, a little bit mature, and has a full grasp of what they're trying to get done. That's how they're trying to do it.
Do they have the luxury of waiting? Aaron Rodgers' rookie year predates the current collective bargaining agreement. Does an organization really have the luxury now, Yurk, of drafting a quarterback in the first round, having the benefit of the fifth-year option, having all that cost control, and saying, we're going to sit you for 3 years?
Sure, because before he ever gets to that fifth year, they can go to him and say, hey, we want to sign you to a contract extension. Here's some real money. Hmm. Okay, here's some real money.
Like if he has a good year,
we'll have some escalators in there for you. If you outperform what we think is going to happen, we'll go ahead and escalate that contract. And his agent will either tell him to take it or his agent will say, turn it down and we'll see what happens. Get to the fourth, get to the fifth.
He'll tag, yeah.
And then tag. And that'd be 3 more years that they have control over.
And for quarterbacks, the tag is awfully juicy.
Yeah, it's very, very juicy.
I mean, by the time.
But
by the time Jordan Love gets there,
they have to tag him, it'll be 6 years in, though.
But the huge benefit, though, and the one thing is that the Packers, in one sense, are wasting it, is that if you actually do hit on your first-round pick and you're, like, with the Chargers, with Herbert, you feel good about where he's at after his rookie season. Now, for years 2, 3, and 4, you have him on a very team-friendly contract, which allows them to go ahead and spend heavily on all the supporting cast for Herbert, and in theory, put a roster that is very good and very competitive on the field. You can go ahead and splurge on those veterans like, you know, in free agency while Herbert is on that rookie deal.
There's a reason that these teams draft quarterbacks in the first round and then play them as a rookie. We've documented this. It's why Justin Fields is going to play this year at some point. I mean, I think the every data point tells you that he will. If you go back to 2010, and you can even go back further than that, but I just did it back to 2010, 34 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. 31 of the 34 started at more than two games, started at least three games. Most of them start like eight games, half the season. Some have played the whole year. Every single quarterback except one, Jordan Love. So 33 of 34 first-round quarterbacks drafted since 2010 have taken snaps as a rookie in the NFL. There's a reason they draft them in the first round, and they want them to play because they do have that cost control. If you've got a thought on it, you can join us at 312-332-3776. The Packers get a big win here. It's like a big cave job by Aaron Rodgers. What'd you put everybody through? Well, why the song and dance?
He wanted the summer off. That's why.
Maybe you're right.
He wanted the summer off.
He was like Scotty.
He's out there, you know, having fun with your wife's cousin.
Yeah.
You know, having a good time.
They're having fun. They're
what's
in Hawaii.
Penn and Taylor. What's his name?
Miles Teller. Yeah.
Miles Teller. That's his name. Miles Teller.
And Kelly. His beautiful wife, Kelly.
Right. Miles Teller's beautiful wife, Kelly, or
Miles Teller's wife is my wife's cousin.
All right, and her name is Kelly.
Yes, it is.
And Aaron Rodgers' girl
is Shailene Woodley.
That's her name.
Yes.
There you go. They went out to have some fun.
They had fun. He just wanted to
go screw around.
I'm gonna take my summer.
He says, "Here, let me mess with the Packers on draft day."
I'll
call Schefter. He'll repeat anything.
He's
like
gonna,
Mikey. Hey, Michael, he'll eat anything.
Life's serious.
Hey, call Schefter. He'll repeat anything I tell
him. He's going to do the whole thing over next year. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Dealing with, I mean, they've traded for Marc-Andre Fleury, but the agent's kind of putting stuff out on social media like, oh, well, he doesn't know about his future. He's going to contemplate. Pat Boyle on our text chain makes a good point. He says the Hawks could really be bleeped here. They need to find out from Fleury if he's playing or retiring ASAP. Free agency begins tomorrow. They need to know if that seven schmil is going to flower or if they have to spend it elsewhere. It's a good point. Like, if he drags his feet, right? I mean, like, that's $7 million.
Well,
that they need to know if it's going to be on their books for a goalie that's going to play for them in 2020.
He doesn't have to tell them anything.
Well, no, I think the point is like how it affects the Blackhawks going into tomorrow and beyond.
I understand 100%. I understand exactly, but he is under no obligation to tell the Blackhawks a damn thing.
He drags his feet for a week and like, what are they going to do?
I think the Blackhawks operate under the assumption that he's going to be there at $7.5 million, and they go about the business of free agency that way. That's all they can do.
You got to count that.
We traded for a player that was going to play next year with the Las Vegas Knights. We have to anticipate that he's going to play for the Chicago Blackhawks at the number we have.
Yeah.
Interesting. Could this deal, like, now it hasn't been made official yet, right? We haven't seen any actual tweets from the Hawks or the Golden Knights,
you might be right.
So
about
that's my one question, because Emily Kaplan, you know, she said in the stages of wrapping it up or whatever, however she phrased it, could it fall apart if
have the Hawks sent a press release?
No, I haven't seen one. If the Hawks don't have the assurances from Fleury's camp that he will show up, will they?
Right.
Now, again, that's Yurko has pointed out with the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. It's just words. So if you don't have it in writing, it doesn't really mean anyone has to abide by their words, but. Could they move on then and not make this deal? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, could the Hawks say, well, listen, if you're going to hold this up, then we're just going to move forward.
Because there's too much at stake starting tomorrow?
My question.
Say, hey, you've got till the end of business, and then you get, you know, that's it. That'd suck for Vegas, too. They'd be like, damn, we want to play Robin Leonard. We really want to start Robin Leonard. So over the weekend when the White Sox run Sunday Night Baseball, winning that game against Milwaukee, Buster only dropped... This was Sunday Night Baseball, wasn't it, guys? Yeah, it was in Milwaukee. Buster dropped something about trade possibilities and how the Cubs have so many guys that are desirable to other teams. Another one is gone. Andrew Chafin got traded to the A's yesterday. But listen to a Buster talk about trade possibilities, specifically about Rizzo to the Red Sox.
I think Anthony Rizzo is going to wind up with the Boston Red Sox. I think the Mets are going to wind up with one of three guys, Chris Bryant or Trevor Story or Javier Baez. I think Tyler Anderson is going to be traded by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mets potentially could be a fit there. San Diego Padres also out in the marketplace looking for a starting pitcher.
Wow, one of those big-ticket Cubs going to the Mets. Now we're talking about blockbusters coming in the next week.
Yeah, and I think an example of that right now would be the Red Sox players, because they saw Tampa Bay go out and make that big deal for Nelson Cruz to get that one hitter who's absolutely perfect in the middle of their lineup, and they're having a great season. They know they got Chris Sale coming back. He looks tremendous, but they could use some bullpen help, and they could use some help at first base. Anthony Rizzo checks every box. He's a left-handed hitter, which they need. He would help the defense. He would help the pitching. And you know that his heart rate in October would be 60 instead of 160.
Remember, the Boston Red Sox drafted Anthony Rizzo out of high school. Chad Hoyer acquired him when he got the job as the general manager in San Diego. It was the Adrian Gonzalez deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, and then San Diego went and traded him to the Chicago Cubs.
You got that right. Here's Rizzo today with Cap and Hoodie, his weekly visit, talking about that Buster-only audio.
Yeah, I didn't hear it, but it is crazy. A couple of my friends have texted me. But this is part of what's going to happen in the next 3 days, and things are going to continue to be thrown out there and talk, and it's completely out of my control right now. And it's crazy that I'm even in this position and we're in this position, but it's completely out of my control, and I just stick to all the routine, work out this morning, go to the field, do my routine, play a baseball game.
Would you like to hear it?
Would I like to hear the Buster only? Yes. No, I mean, I'll take your word for it, but I have a lot of respect for Buster and all the insiders. But right now, I try to just stay away from all of it.
Yeah, and Buster said, he made that seem like he's got some pretty good sources indicating that that's where Anthony Rizzo is going to end up. I mean, listen.
I think Anthony Rizzo is going to wind up with the Boston Red Sox.
He doesn't just say that, you know. I think Buster's hearing some things. Here's Rizzo on the clubhouse right now and about what's going on in there.
It's weird. It's definitely weird. It's not like we're going in talking about who we're getting, which we've done for the last 5 years. So it's a different feeling that. But who knows what's going to happen? It's so out of our control that, you know, the one thing I do know is I know absolutely nothing when it comes to all this stuff. So
they don't call you and say, hey, we're going to call Mark, your agent. Well, let's talk one more time. They don't keep you apprised of anything. It's simply a business transaction.
It's unfortunately, I think that's the way it is right now. And that's all right. That's what it is. And I'm just grateful to be able to be playing baseball.
Cap and Hoodie did get him to promise that if he's traded, he'll still do the show next week. I have a feeling, though, if Danny calls him in Boston, he's going to be like, who? Don't remember.
I think he'll come on.
I'm kidding. Of course he will. I'm joking. He will come on. Exciting. Might be talking to him as a Boston Red Sox.
Just wonderfully exciting commentary.
Yeah. He'd help Boston.
Boy, Boston Red Sox.
That might hurt him.
Wow.
He wouldn't hurt him.
Yeah, I like what Buster said. His heart rate will be 60 in October, not 160. Austin's in Portage. What's up, Austin?
Hey, how you doing? I got a question for you guys.
Sure.
Involves the Sox and Cubs. I was thinking Chris Bryant's a good utility guy. He could play right, could play second. I know he's not a left-handed bat, but if you can get maybe a package for maybe Bryant and then throw in Kimbrel as well, what do you think about that? Like, what would they have to give up for that?
Too much. I mean, that's a package that's going to be that's the answer. Too much. Probably not willing. I can't see the two of them going in a package deal anywhere. That'd be a whole heck of a lot. Chris Bryant's going to end up with the Mets. He's been connected to the Mets since the offseason.
For a long time, yes. And Kimbrel?
Kimbrel, I'll trust what the experts are saying. San Diego sounds reasonable.
Or Houston sounds reasonable.
I mean, I guess Tampa could. Yeah, Tampa could move Castillo to the eighth, right? And boy, that'd be, think about the heat in Tampa's bullpen if they get Craig Kimbrel.
They'd be potent. And last night when he goes into the game, I'm looking at him, right? And you love that situation, top of ninth, bring your closer in.
At home, yeah. Yeah, I do like that.
At home, top of ninth, bring. And there I am going, don't bring him in. Not in a non-save situation. I didn't want to see it. And then he gets in trouble, and I'm like, come on, get out of it.
He got out of it.
He did get out of it. He snapped out of it, thank heavens. But I was sitting there shaking my head going, come on, man. No. Why?
He gave him a come on.
I don't like it.
Come on, man.
I did give him a come on, man.
Waddle's second most important bear yesterday, Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is also second in the Madden rating.
Yeah, number one on my list.
Is number one on your list. He's also second in the Madden rating. No edge rusher got a 99. How about that? Myles Garrett, I think, that had the highest at 98, and Khalil Mack was a 96. T.J. Watt, way too low, like 94. T.J.'s better than that.
What was Aaron Donald?
I'm assuming Aaron Donald will be a 99.
Yeah, he'll be 99 because he's an interior.
Yeah.
What do you mean, way too low? You don't even play Madden. You're talking like 94 is like a slight or
T.J.
something.
T.J. Watt?
What would you make him?
101. All right, touche, Miller. I don't play Madden, but I mean, like, come on.
94 is no skin out, you know.
Really?
That's,
right.
What do you mean, really? Like, you just said Garrett is a 98. If, you know,
Khalil's
I mean,
a 96. Is T.J. Watt really a 94?
It's 2 points, and he's the, well, what's he, the third or fourth best edge rusher in the game?
I don't know.
You're just might throwing around 90s.
He
like,
might be the second.
Like, yeah, I would like
Donald to be 90. Allen Robinson was 10th amongst the receivers.
There I you saw go. That.
Yeah, for A-Rob.
91.
So who's Waddle's one? Wait, real, who's Waddle's one then? I'm trying.
Well,
to
he's going to announce it today.
I know, but come on.
It's going to be Justin Fields.
Is Justin Fields one? Right. Simple deduction should tell us.
Well, right? The big debate is whether or not he's going Andy Dalton.
No way.
Fields.
He's going Justin Fields.
I have been adamant that it's Fields, but Hoodie and Cap both believe it's going to be Andy Dalton.
No, it's I'm going Fields.
If it's Andy Dalton, we're going to have to reevaluate and give Waddle some more concussions.
Merck, did you hear that, Waddle? Merck just invalidated the whole list if you go with Andy Dalton.
At the very least, if it's Andy Dalton, we're putting him in concussion protocol.
And that's premature merculation because it's based off of an if.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
If then that. Correct. And that doesn't, that's not a premature merculation.
I think it's Fields. What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah. What's Waddle's number one? Is it going to be Fields or Dalton?
It's one of the two. It's a mistake if it's either one of the quarterbacks.
All right. Thank you, Yurko. Yes, Mirko.
Right now, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are meeting the media.
Yeah.
The Penn and Mike Club has checked Kopic. May rest in peace, always said. Matt Nagy says he's been really impressed the last 3 days by the progress made by Justin Fields. Since the end of OTA minicamps, Nagy notes that Fields clearly did his homework.
It's starting. Yes, the buzz is starting. The hype is starting. Waddle, did you hear that? You better make Fields one. We'll be right back. This hour of the show is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Yes! Chicago's Big Ten team.
Ryan Field.
College football.
Talk to a new announcer?
No, but...
No!
I just got excited for a second seeing Northwestern football reads. Like,
who would he go down the field to see if they were okay? Like he did for Ty Frazier.
He just got hurt. I'm going to go down there and check.
Oh, Ryan Field.
It's Darnell Autry. Right?
Darnell Autry's hurt.
Darnell Autry, yeah. Darnell got hurt. When Pat Fitzgerald broke his leg.
When?
Then Stoney takeover. I'm going to go down. Remember when Pat broke his leg?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go down
and check. Terrible.
College football returns to Wrigley this fall for the first time since 2010. Did they fix the layout issues? I think they did.
I know, one way.
Join Northwestern football as they take on Purdue in the Wildcats Classic on November 20th. Tickets are on sale at nusports.com.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Man, this has been a kind of like a whirlwind day with the Marc-Andre Fleury news. The Blackhawks have agreed to a trade, but there's a holdup. There are rumors that Marc-Andre Fleury might want to retire and not want to relocate to Chicago. He's 37. He's got 1 year left. Coming off a Vezina Trophy campaign. That is the award that goes to the best goaltender, as selected by the media.
Right.
And he did have a strong year. So you got that. And free agency starts tomorrow. Do the Hawks have $7 million tied up in Marc-Andre Fleury or not?
You have to work out. You have to work like the acquisition has taken place.
Okay.
Like, you're going to have them. Then if it doesn't work out, then, okay, boom, we got 7.5 more to spend.
Aaron Rodgers has arrived in Green Bay, unfortunately. The Packers are now the favorite again in all the Vegas sports
books. Of course they are.
And on PointsBet and at DraftKings. Yes, of course they are.
Best team in the division by far.
I think it's pretty clear.
Not even remotely close.
Unless injuries happen, I don't think there's anybody close to the Packers. I hate to say it. But I think you're right.
Yeah, so they're too good. They'll win 13 games again. They'll go 13-4 again, Carm. Ugh. They'll do it again.
Danny and Danny Zetterman, the executive producer of the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show, and our longtime friend. I mean, Danny and Aaron Rodgers, there's a strong resemblance. I don't know if you've picked up on that lately. I mean, you noticed that? Because Danny's got a very...
flowing hair.
Yeah, he's got like the flowing locks now. Yeah. He's very one with nature and his body. I don't know if you knew that about Danny, Armchair Nutritionist podcast. He and Aaron Rodgers have, I mean, like if we did a side-by-side.
A weird kinship.
They're identical right now.
Except for there's no facial hair on Danny.
But Danny can grow facial hair in a snap.
Well, we think.
No, he can.
We don't know if it's formidable, though. Carmen, if you grew some facial hair, it looked like it'd be formidable.
Well, I grew it. I mean, remember the winter?
Right. You get a 5 o'clock shadow, like, you know.
It takes me a little while. Danny can grow even faster. Yeah, mine was okay. I had a lot of gray in the chin, but... My mustache was good. You guys remember that mustache?
Good mustache.
That was good. Should I keep it for November? Should I do the whole November thing?
My wife was giving you compliments on the mustache.
Oh, she hated the mustache. She liked the beard. She hated the mustache.
Of course.
Hated the mustache. Yeah. Loved the mustache ride.
Mustache ride. That's another thing. Yeah, she's like, what are you doing with that mustache? Yeah, it was. I look like Luigi, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, Mario or Luigi.
One of the two.
One of the two.
They're brothers, you know?
Yeah, but.
Not twins, but brothers.
You know, and that's not. I'm Italian. We can say that. I'm not offending anybody. That's kind of what I look like.
You
a lot of people said I look like Freddie Mercury, remember? I did have a little Freddie Mercury.
Yep.
Wish I could sing like.
Well, you were going through all faces. You were doing the mustache tricks.
Well,
wasn't
then I did the chops. General Burnside. I did the General Burnside.
Yeah, you did the weird thing, man. Yeah. Then you had to give up. At that point, it was like, give it up, dude.
I'll do it again this winter, maybe at some point.
Just November?
Just for fun. Well, maybe I'll do the mustache. Yeah. For November. So we've got all this news that's happened today. We're still waiting on Cubs and Sox trades. Cubs are going to be trading. White Sox are going to be adding, and we'll see. We shall see. I mean, until we get to Friday, Friday's going to be an action-packed day. Remember to come join us, Buttermilk Cafe. We'll be broadcasting near the site of training camp. Near. Boy, I'll tell you, teams, especially the NFL teams, if there's in their minds, if there's one good thing to come out of COVID, that's it. They've won. They completely control the message now. They limit the
that's
number.
A mistake, though.
They're using it as such an excuse to limit the number of media members, to limit who can be there, who can watch.
Why did the league?
They're in heaven.
Why did the league become popular?
Television.
Okay.
And television. Gambling.
But also access to the athletes.
Yes.
During training camps. Those are special times. You got a lot of father and sons will tell you about the fun training camps they had up in Platteville or Olivet Nazarene.
Yeah.
They'll tell you that. You go back and they'll tell you about Green Bay having the people ride the bikes.
Yeah.
You start doing this weird stuff. You never know what begins your downfall. You never know what begins the plateau. You don't know the decisions that you made that starts you into a flattening situation. And then once you flatten, if you don't make the adjustments, you end up going down. Horse racing thought they'd be around forever. Boxing thought they were the king of the world for a long time.
NASCAR.
Baseball thought they were absolutely fantastic. NASCAR made the mistake of making the car a crap, which they called the car of tomorrow.
Car of crap.
Whoever allowed the Bodines to go ahead and let's do this. And I'm not talking about the band Bodines.
I was going to say the band?
I'm talking about Jeff and Todd Bodine.
I don't know who they are.
Those two guys, they're racers, Carm. I know who they are because I'm familiar with the sport. Okay? You make stupid decisions, they cost you.
Well, Yurko might be right. We'll be near Halas Hall. Come get breakfast with us at Buttermilk. The breakfast is phenomenal. Yeah. Trust me. So we'll be broadcasting live. So will Cap and Hoodie on. They'll be there on Thursday. We're going to be there on Friday. So and we got a bunch of shows planned for the next few weeks as the Bears start training camp. So that'll be fun. And it is right by the mall over there on 60 and Milwaukee Ave. So Buttermilk Cafe, the place to be. All right. We think Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be a Blackhawk. Won the Vezina Trophy. He's won cups. He was a teammate once with the great Evgeny Malkin in Pittsburgh. And how could we ever forget one of the most classic pieces of tape ever? Evgeny Malkin talking about his teammate after he won his 300th game in the NFL. That is today's final word, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word. Because you had to be a big shot, dude.
you, you had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yuriko.
My own memories, I'm scored for every practice, 10 goals, every practice, every shootout I'm scored to him. I know how he win 300, I know. It's surprising me.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yuriko on ESPN 1000.